Radio Prague News. Czech President Václav Klaus has named Social Democrat Jan Mládek Agriculture Minister. The Czech government hopes to add a new plane to its fleet in the first half of next year. And a convicted murderer who escaped from prison last week is believed to be on his way to southern Europe. The Czech Republic has a new agriculture minister. Social Democrat Jan Mládek was named into the post by the Czech President Václav Klaus on Wednesday. Mr. Mládek says his main priorities will be to change the way some institutions under the ministry are run and ensure that the Czech agriculture sector benefits more from EU funds. Mr. Mládek replaces Petr Zgarba, who resigned this week following a number of corruption scandals. The Czech cabinet has agreed to set aside an additional 1.5 billion crowns for the repair and construction of industrial zones and infrastructure near Ostrava, the proposed site of a new $1.2 billion Hyundai car plant. The cabinet has already set aside 3.25 billion crowns in relation to the proposed venture of the South Korean carmaker. Hyundai reportedly wants a four-lane highway built from Ostrava to neighbouring Slovakia, where its affiliate Kia Motors has a factory. The South Korean investment has become a focal point for political debate over the Czech Republic's system of incentives for attracting foreign investment, with the main opposition Civic Democratic Party calling for a major reduction in incentives packages. The Czech government has earmarked 850 million crowns, or a little over $34.5 million, to purchase two new transport aircraft. The first plane is expected to be delivered in the first half of next year, the second in 2007. The government decided to speed up its plans to modernize its fleet following a number of forced landings due to the bad technical state of the highly outdated planes. A commission is to decide by the end of the month whether two of the Russian TU-154 planes will be replaced by Boeing or Airbus. The total modernization of the fleet is expected to cost around 4 billion crowns. And during its session on Wednesday, the government also decided to give the Counterintelligence Service, the BIS, over 18 million crowns to use on wiretappings. And it also approved a revised counter-terrorism plan that increases the powers of intelligence services, posts more police officers at Czech embassies, and protects cargo with dangerous materials. The Czech police suspect one of the two convicted murderers who escaped from a Plzeň prison earlier this month is on his way to a southern European state. Roman Caberda, a drug dealer who was serving time for the murder of a German mayor 2 years ago, is most probably heading for Italy or Spain, from where he'll try to go to Thailand, a police spokesperson said. The convicts escaped with the aid of a guard by hiding in a service truck. The other inmate, Rostislav Rostochil, who killed an Egyptian student, was arrested last week. He was hiding at his sister's flat in Germany. I'm Lita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Peter Smith. Coming up, 16 years on from the Velvet Revolution, we look at what happened to all those statues, banners and symbols dedicated to heroes and the ideology of communism. Also, with James Bond on his way to Prague, we examine the state of the Czech film industry. And in Spotlight, Dita Asiedu travels north to the so-called Czech paradise. Please stay tuned. Sixteen years ago this week, 40 years of communism in Czechoslovakia dramatically came to an end, rapidly dismantled by massive public protests in the city's streets. Almost overnight, the old structures collapsed and with it the symbols of a decayed system. Countless red stars, party banners, statues of revolutionaries and eternal monuments to the country's communist presidents were carted off to unknown graveyards, usually the dustbin. Earlier, we spoke with architectural historian Zdeněk Lukeš, asking him to recall the public impulse in 1989 for dismantling of all the symbols of the former regime.
Of course, most of these symbols disappeared in a very short period. People thought something like a shame to be connected with these symbols. Many of these symbols were very low artistic quality, of course, but some of them were very good, like, for instance, a figure of partisan in the city of Brno by famous Czech between wars sculptor Vincenz Makovský. After 89, some experts recommended to destroy it definitely. And I'm for, if these symbols are bad quality, low quality, of course, but I'm against if not. And I think that some of these symbols could survive.
In the 1990s, Zdeněk Lukáš himself recommended that a special site be chosen in which communist-era symbols could be displayed. The project never found necessary support.
My idea was to use empty space under the pedestal of former Stalin monument in Letná, which is still empty, and to use this space as something like a museum of all these motifs.
Many of the relics from the communist era were either destroyed or sold abroad, but one place in Prague where visitors can see well-known symbols is on Prague's B metro line at Anděl, or Angel Station. The station was built by the Russians and was originally called Moskva, or Moscow Station. Even though it was completely reconstructed in the 1990s, designers left original fragments to remind daily travellers of the station's past. One can, for example, still see a relief of Soviet cosmonauts right above the tracks, or a child with a branch in hand, symbolising prosperity or peace. Zdeněk Lukáš explains why it was important to retain former elements at the site.
The station called Moscow Station in Smíchov, now Angel, was ornamented by Russian artists, including a picture depicting Moscow landscape. And I think that this symbol was typical for that regime and for that period, and could stay there till today without any problems. All these symbols are curious for a younger generation, for instance, for my students. It's necessary to meet with these symbols also. Why it was done, and what's about the quality of these works and so on.
The architectural historian Zdeněk Lukáš ending that report. The greatest story of the Cold War. That's how the story of the Mašín brothers who shot their way out of Czechoslovakia in the 1950s is often described. The sons of a Czech World War II hero decided to fight the communists the way their father fought the Nazis, and in 1953 they escaped from Czechoslovakia to West Berlin. Two of their friends did not make it, and the group shot six people during and before their escape. More than 50 years on, the story still provokes controversy in the Czech Republic. The debate is no doubt going to be rekindled by a newly published book called The Testament by the daughter of one of the Mašín brothers, Barbara, who presented it this week in Prague. Pavla Horáková has more.
Barbara Mason, the daughter of the elder brother, Josef Mašín, or Joseph Mason, often heard about the dramatic story from her father when she was a child. Her father never talked about what came before or what came after the escape, but something changed around the year 2001.
I believe that this change was the result of Czechs coming to him and asking him about what he and his friends had done and what it meant and why they had done it. And that the nature of these questions really reflected a profound lack of understanding of Czechs for their own history. So my father began to speak about what had happened and why he had done what he had done and why his friends had done what they had done in an effort to educate Czechs about their own past, since the past informs the present and also the future.
In 2001, Barbara and her father retraced the route of the escape all the way from the Czech border to West Berlin. After taking this trip, Barbara Mason spent 3 years doing research in archives in the United States, Britain, Germany and the Czech Republic. The result is a non-fiction book that has just been published in Prague in Czech translation. Barbara Mason told me why she decided to write The Testament.
Actually, it was, for me, a discovery process, because there were questions that I had hearing the story that he was not able to really answer for me, like why would there be 24,000 troops chasing five kids with four guns? It seemed like a total overreaction. He couldn't tell me why that was so. I also was wondering what exactly the Americans knew while all of this was going on. And, you know, basically he said that there were a lot of stories in the press. But, you know, again, you know, what exactly was known and what wasn't. So there were the questions, you know, also what came before and what came after, because my father really wouldn't talk about it when we were small. So, you know, my goal was to find answers to questions.
As Barbara Mason says, another question for her arose while she was doing her research. She discovered that the machine story was still a live and controversial issue in the Czech Republic. So in her book, she also looks into why her grandfather, who fought the Nazi dictatorship, is universally recognized as a hero, while his son's fight against another totalitarian dictatorship is a subject of controversy. The English version of the testament is due in 2006 in the United States.
Pablo Horáková with that report. Yes, British secret agent 007 is on his way to the Czech Republic. The 21st film in the Bond series, Casino Royale, will be shot in and around Prague next year. It's the latest in a long line of big-budget movies to be produced in this country over the last decade or so. For a deeper insight into the Czech film industry's talent for attracting the big-budget projects, I spoke to Theo Schwinki, publisher of the online Daily Monitor.
The Czech Republic is known for its local, homegrown film industry. Obviously, a number of film auteurs have come from the Czech Republic, including, of course, Miloš Forman and Jiří Menzel. In recent years, the Czech Republic has emerged as an international film hub because of the state of the Czech film industry infrastructure. That is, the talent is here, the studios are here. International filmmakers from Hollywood and elsewhere have realized that this is a great place to make films. You will be hard-pressed to find better crews, better cameramen, better set designers and constructors any place outside of, like, maybe Los Angeles. The real advantage here is an economic one, however, because you just, an international filmmaker just realizes so many cost savings by shooting here as opposed to in Los Angeles.
Now, can you see the situation continuing for the next 5 or 10 years, or do you think the Czech Republic will become a victim of its own success in a way that prices will start going up and possibly work will go even further east?
That's a really good question, and it's a question that the industry is asking itself here in the Czech Republic. Obviously, prices are going to be going up here, but they have not been outpacing inflation so far. As you pointed out, there is a concern that films will be going further east to Hungary, to Budapest, Ukraine even. It is cheaper to make films there, but the local industry boosters will tell you that they don't fear losing that much business to countries further east because those countries' industries, those countries' film infrastructure is not to the level that the Czech Republic is.
There's a bit of a knock-on effect for the domestic film industry, isn't there? For a Czech director who might want to get a film made because he may be dealing with people who are now used to working on much higher salaries.
You're right. The positive side of that is that a cameraman or a sound man is going to be a little bit more inclined to work with a Czech auteur who doesn't have very much money if he's already got a full wallet from having worked on a big-budget Hollywood picture. A lot of dedicated filmmakers are like that. They will delay payment or they'll accept payment on the back end of the film rather than requiring money to live on up front. And they can do that because they just earned a big paycheck from a big budget production.
Well, 2006, big thing, of course, happening is the Bond film, Casino Royale, which is coming to the Czech Republic. Is this generating a lot of unprecedented excitement, do you think?
I think everyone is very excited about it. Unprecedented. I think we were just as excited when we got Mission Impossible back in 1996. This is a huge vote of confidence in the local industry and the ability of the crews and the people here to make a film. And it will bring a lot of money to the local film industry as well. It's going to be a very, very large budget film.
Yes, the bars in Prague are already practicing how to shake and not stir their cocktails. Anyway, I was talking to Theo Schwinki, who's the publisher of the online Daily Monitor. You're listening, of course, to Radio Prague. A quick reminder about our programme tomorrow, a special programme, a November the 17th commemorative show, where we'll be looking at the development of the Habsburg Empire here in Central Europe, but also we'll be investigating the legacy of the student revolts against the Nazis in November 1939.
The period which followed after the Agreement of Munich was one of the saddest in the history of Czech nation. It was a situation of great disillusion, I must say. The fact that the country was abandoned by her allies led to the certain feeling of loneliness.
Yes, that's our special November the 17th programme. Coming up tomorrow, please do tune in for that. But back to today, we're going to head off now into the wilds of North Bohemia to Czech paradise. Dieter Asiedu has this week's spotlight.
Thanks for staying tuned to Spotlight, and today we travel to eastern Bohemia, where I visited one of the country's regions that's true to its name, Český ráj, which translates as Bohemian Paradise. It's an area that encompasses sandstone rock formations that somewhat remind us of Stonehenge or miniature Grand Canyons, fairy tale hills that hide precious stones, romantic castles and chateaus with a colorful history, and picturesque folk architecture, to name just a few of the region's attractions. It is not hard to see why the Bohemian Paradise was given the honor of being labeled a UNESCO Geopark last month. There are only 20 others in Europe and 8 in China. Picturesque countryside, heavy but delicious food and good beer. These are the most frequent answers to the question, what does the Czech Republic have to offer? Unfortunately, most visitors have little time to explore the country. If they've heard of the Bohemian Paradise, they reserve a day or two to the region, which is just 90 kilometers away from Prague. But in order to find the hidden gems, you need about a week. Tomáš Řídko-Šil is from the Bohemian Paradise Museum in the town of Turnov.
There are 12 main areas where you find groups of sandstone rock formations. We call them rock towns because of their forms, towers, gates, tunnels and windows. You can spend a day at each town and not be bored because they all have different characteristics. But the Bohemian Paradise is not just interesting from a geological point of view. There are also a large number of interesting animals that will cross your path. You find rare species in the forests, ponds and rivers, such as the kingfisher, which is not a common bird in the Czech Republic. You can raft down the river and try some climbing. The Bohemian Paradise is actually the cradle of Czech mountain climbing. All our famous climbers who have tackled the Himalayas started off here.
But how were these rocks formed? To find out, you have to go back over 100 million years. You may be surprised to hear that back then this region was covered by water because a shallow sea was created when the Earth's core shrank. Fine sand from the mountains was carried by the rivers to the bottom of the gulf, where it then hardened. The sea eventually evaporated, allowing isolated sandstone elevations to surface. These were initially flat-topped, but erosion and the removal of minerals gave them their current shape.
Byste si to mohli prohlédnout, protože je to...
It's a pity that listeners can't see what I'm holding in my hand right now. This heavy piece was collecting dust at our depository until an expert on aquatic life came to see us. He saw it and conducted a few tests, only to discover that it was from a freshwater shark, which lived in one of the lakes in the Turnov area. That's why the shark is called Turnovichtis Magnus. Judging from the size of this bit, which was behind the shark's fin, paleontologists say it was about 2.5 meters long.
Paleontologové usuzují, že ten žralok sladkovodní byl velký asi 2,5 metru.
If you're not into adrenaline sports like mountain climbing or kayaking, there's plenty more for you to do here. During a simple walk around the countryside, one can admire the rich folk architecture, visit numerous castles and chateaus, or, and this would be my favorite, visit the former Sedmihorky Spa to see what inspired the country's 19th century patriots to call this region the Bohemian Paradise. Hanna Majerová is from the Bohemian Paradise Association.
At the time, one of the most popular tunes was Josef Kajetan Till's Where is My Homeland, which later became our national anthem. One of its phrases describes the Czech lands as a paradise on earth to look at. That's how the Czech Society of Writers, Poets and Painters, who often visited the spa, was inspired to name this region the Bohemian Paradise.
Kozákov Hill is close to 750 meters high. It's the tallest in the region and is made of volcanic rock. This is where most visitors come to enjoy a breathtaking circular view from the lookout tower. It's also full of precious and semi-precious stones, such as crystallized jasper, agates, and amethysts. You may even be permitted to look for them in a quarry on the hill's southern slope and have your treasures polished in the local workshop. If that sounds like too much work, though, you can always go into one of the picturesque little towns to buy the ready-made products. In the 16th century, Turnov and the surrounding area saw the beginnings of a thriving industry in the processing of precious stones. In the spring and summer months, Turnov stages a series of events to introduce visitors to the area's unique traditions of stone cutting, garnet jewelry making, and glass processing. The craftsmen of this region have a unique specialty. You can drop by to see how they make imitations of eyeballs that are used for dolls or stuffed animals. But for a good idea of what you shouldn't miss, visit the Bohemian Paradise Museum or one of the information centers, which is in every town. Here you'll find information in Czech, English, German, and even Dutch. But if you're afraid you'd get lost somewhere, you can hire a tour guide to show you around.
Dieter Asiedu there with a spotlight from Czech paradise Český Ráj. Very nice place. Please, if you come to the country, check it out yourself. Anyway, we're almost out of time here on Radio Prague. I just want to give you a quick reminder of our contact details. Please do get in touch because we very much like to hear from the listeners. The email address, of course, is english@radio.cz. Once again, english@radio.cz. And also check out the website because there's a lot of useful information there about our programmes and indeed just about life here in the Czech Republic. The address for that is www.radio.cz. rtk.cz/English. And you can actually go on there and click on the other sections as well. For example, the Russian language service or the Spanish. For those multilinguists amongst us, they might find that quite interesting. Anyway, also we do accept postal mail still. The address is Radio Prague 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Once again, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. That's it, I think, from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.